who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
One of the things I found was a problem or a challenge, perhaps, when I first began in ministry, was because I had a limited experience of life. It's true, I had been gotten married, and after 10 years I did know something about married life. I'd also been to several weddings and seen what went on. But the very first wedding I took, I remember making one huge mistake. My defence was, I had taken several funerals beforehand. And it seems like a strange defence, but you'll get there. What happens, because when you're at a funeral as the minister, when everybody leaves, you're first in line. You go out, the undertaker, funeral director's behind you, and then the pallbearers come with the coffin. So the first wedding I went to, we went in, we signed the register. And so what did I do? I walked out first. And then I wondered why this man was in front of me going with a camera. And then I twigged. He's not interested in taking pictures of me. I couldn't see why not, really, but he couldn't. So I had to... I quickly ran, sort of speeded up to walk past him, dignified, out the way, so he could take pictures of the bride. I did have to say this yesy, because they were going to have about half a dozen people in front of the bride and groom. I said, no, the photographer only interested in taking pictures of one person, the bride. So that was my something that happened to me. But when I first came into ministry, yes, I'd been working for 10 years as a teacher. By then we had two children. I had some experience of life, but as age is catching up on me, so the experiences of life get more and more good and bad. And with more experiences, it's easier in some respects to identify with other people. A bit like I'd said about Stuart before, I probably didn't identify him when I was 20, but I can identify more with him now, having reached the age I've reached. The letter of Hebrews talks a lot about Jesus being a sacrifice, being a high priest. In the passage that we read, we had that Jesus was the merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. He came to earth for that purpose, to be our high priest. The passage began, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus became like one of us. He shared our humanity. There was, or is, I can't remember, I remember seeing it, where a millionaire, often a business person, would go to the place of his or her childhood, but rather than go and say, I'm a millionaire, they would rent a humble flat and they would go to places. They would get a job that was, you know, the ground floor, so to speak. And they wouldn't tell anybody, even if it was their business that they were working, they wouldn't tell anybody. They worked under an assumed name. And they also went to other places like homeless and people who were collecting for, you know, various charities and helping the community. It was only after they'd been there a week or a fortnight living with these people, they would then reveal who they are, and it usually resulted in either their fellow workers, maybe in the same firm, getting a pay rise and promotion, or getting a more a lump sum, and for other organisations to get money. And they knew what it had been like. They had walked in the shoes of those people. They'd realised the situations they were in. Jesus came to live among us, to walk in our shoes, to know what it's like to be a human. Jesus came, it says in verse 15, to free those who live all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it's not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his siblings in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. To get it right, to be able to do the job properly, Jesus had to become like one of us. He had to know what we go through day in, day out, what makes us happy, what makes us sad, what hurts us, what gives us joy. Jesus knows what we go through because he's been there. He's lived on earth, yes, at a different time to us, yes, a different era to us, yes, in a different place, but he's still been there. People do not change radically. When Sue and I moved from the flat plains of Cambridgeshire, that's the village sign of Swavesey, and I'll leave you to guess what the other place is. You've probably all been there several times, but it never looks that clean. That's what got me. When I saw the photo on Google, Gantshill Station never looks that bright, but maybe I go in at the wrong time. But when we moved, people would say to us, they'd say, oh, it's very different down in London. They're a different breed of person down in London. And when we got here, yeah, they are different, but not in a radical way, really. They're still human beings, you know. But then when we got to London, they went, oh, you've come from the yokel land up in Cambridgeshire where they have straw out of their mouth and talk funny. Actually, I never saw a farmer or anybody sucking straw or hay. And I'm still trying to work out which is which. One's from grass and the other one's from cereals. But I can never remember which is which. But people are people. Doesn't matter if they're a different time, different era, different place. They are still people. Jesus came to live on earth, living with human beings, people like you and me. And that's how best way he could help. As verse 18 says, Hebrews 2, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Of course, that doesn't mean to say he had every temptation that there's ever been, every aspect of life. He wasn't married, he didn't have children, so he couldn't fully experience those things. But then we haven't been crucified, so we can't identify with that. There has to be some latitude. He knows the range of temptations that we go through. And that means that he becomes a merciful and a faithful high priest in service to God. He's merciful because he understands what we go through. He knows that sometimes we fail. He has not seen failure in himself, get on to that, but he has seen that himself in others around him. Peter being the obvious one. Peter said, no, you're not going to die over my dead body. And of course he then denied Jesus on that Maundy Thursday, stroke Good Friday evening, Good Friday morning. So he knows that we suffer from temptation. So to be merciful to somebody means it helps, certainly, to walk in their shoes. You get the right similar experiences, you can relate to them. But there's more. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 to 16, page 1203.
I concur.
All right.
Jesus, the great high priest, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses, makes him merciful. Of course, there's one huge difference between us and Jesus. He was tempted, but he did not sin. He didn't give in to those temptations. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Of course, his whole coming would have been pointless. If he had sinned, he couldn't have been that perfect sacrifice. That would have made him no different to any of us. So how could he have helped us to change our lives if he himself was similar? But it doesn't make him unsympathetic. It makes him sympathetic for real use. And we know his sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, was accepted by the Father, because he did not sin. Also, we have to realise that phrase, has been tempted every way just as we are, doesn't mean, like I said before, he's been through every temptation as we happen to do. Because there are things around today and things around then which are totally different. Note how we receive mercy from the merciful Jesus. It says in verse 16, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Quite a few versions, instead of using the word with confidence, use the word boldly. Let us then approach God's throne of grace boldly. So when we do something wrong, we can come with confidence to the throne of grace, a throne that's ready to forgive. But the confidence isn't a sort of arrogance. Hey, Jesus, I've sinned, forgive me. But it's approaching with the confidence we know that there is forgiveness there, ready to be given out by the gracious and merciful Jesus. When we sin, it's not the end. It's not the end of the world for us. Jesus was tempted, yet he never sinned. Yet he's sympathetic and merciful due to his experiences. We can approach that throne and we can gain forgiveness. So now we move on to the book of Jude. For our third reading, Jude, verse 17, there's only one chapter in Jude, page 1232 in the Church Bible.
A call to persevere. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh.
Thank you. So how do we find this mercy? Well, it says we should wait for it because it's not ours to dictate. It's Jesus's to give. It's not us to say we demand it. It's the gift of Jesus to each one of us. But we receive it by building ourselves up in faith, it says, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer is that special conversation between us and God and us. It's special because it's God. Then we wait for the merciful Jesus to give us mercy. At times this can be not what we expected. At times we don't understand. Sue and I knew for some time that she wasn't going to be healed on this earth. But that wouldn't affect her life with Christ. I don't know if I'll see her in heaven. I don't believe there's marriage in heaven. So I don't think I'm thinking, like, why should I need to see her? I should be with everybody else. And when I'm in heaven, it won't matter anyway. That's eternal life that begins on this earth and then continues on. The merciful Jesus, the one who went through, who goes through all the things that we do. He knows what it's like, those daily temptations that we may have. He was the one who was tempted, but never gave in to it. He never sinned. Doesn't make him arrogant, doesn't make him unsympathetic. But it means that we know we can follow him. He's the one who shows us his mercy. Suppose the last act before his death was when he prayed to Father and said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Even at that point, he shows his mercy to us. And he's the one from whom we receive mercy. As we approach that throne, his throne, the throne that has the lion and the lamb on it to confuse things. We don't know how it works until we get there. But he's the one that we follow in order to gain that mercy that he so freely gives. That's our Jesus, merciful Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are merciful to us and we do need your mercy. Lord, as those who initially come and follow you and ask you into our lives to take over our lives, and you are so merciful, you say, yes, come, I accept you. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we do still, are people who sometimes step outside your plan for us. So we sin. But we know that when that happens, we can come to you and say, Lord, please forgive me. And you're ready to do that. We can approach that throne with confidence, not fear. Lord, not with the confidence of arrogance, but the confidence of knowing that you are a forgiving God. But Lord, we pray that knowing you as a merciful one, that we too may be merciful to others. We can show them your love. We can go that extra mile with people, because that's what you do for us. That we can, that we are in mercy. It's been prayed before, that salt and light. Lord, not again that we're better than anybody else, but that we are those who have been saved and that our desire is for others to be saved. Lord, we ask for you to help us to do that. Follow your example. Amen. Amen. And let's sing our final song together. How can I be free from sin? How lead me to the cross of Jesus? Stand and sing.
Peace with him, lead me to the cross of Jesus, sing a song of joy again, lead me to the cross of Jesus, flowing from above, a forgiving love, from the Father prayer, his own righteousness, causing me in purity. How can I live by the faith? Lead me to the cross of Jesus.